I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 11. First book of Samuel and chapter 11. You know, I really enjoyed that singing and worship this morning. If there's anything that will bring the power of God into the room, it's worship and praise. Samuel said, I'll enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with praise. And you know, praise brings the blessing. Praise and worship will bring the presence of the Lord right to where you are.
Amen.
Right, comes right down. Stand beside you. Hallelujah. Stand behind you so that you know you're standing in the presence of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? It's good to know that God's with you. It's good to know his hands upon you. And you can, you know, whenever I sing that wee song, we were singing a couple of them there, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. And I don't know if you noticed, but it said they're safe. You are safe. But I never learned it that way. I learned it, you're saved. You're saved.
Amen.
You see, you could be safe today and not safe tomorrow. But when you get saved, you're saved for all eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you get saved, you have passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can never die.
Amen.
The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are saved. Hallelujah. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies.
Amen.
I'll be saved. You know, you will be safe. You'll be safe. But you'll also be sound. Hallelujah. You'll not be safe today and unsafe tomorrow. You'll be safe. You'll be saved forever.
Amen.
Oh, you know, I come up here this morning and didn't want to shout. I said, can you get up and just talk? Get up and just talk. Maybe use the microphone. Just talk. You know, the devil doesn't want you to have a shout.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to have any
right.
Security.
That's right.
He's the
Amen.
Author of insecurity.
That's right.
He's the author of confusion. He's the author of not sure about tomorrow. Well, thank God the Christian's sure about tomorrow.
Amen.
Because we have passed from death unto life. It's no longer I that liveth. It's no longer you. It's not the old you that's living this morning. It's the new you. And that new you is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 11 verses 1 down to 7. Then the house of the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto the house, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. And the house of the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you that I may thirst out all your right eyes. And lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whoso ever cometh not forth after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And they fear, and the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. We'll just have a word of prayer. Our Father, we bless your name this morning that we can come into this room and gather around your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word is forever settled in heaven. We pray you'll bless your word to your people. We ask, Lord, that fear from the enemy will leave your people and fear from you will come on us.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, you'll bless everything that's said here this morning. Don't let anything be said that ought not to be said, but may it be, Lord, to build faith in your people, in Jesus' name, and may it be to bring glory and honor to your holy name. And Lord, we say, not unto us, but unto thy great name be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, in Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats this morning. You know, I've just come and I've got notes, and you know, our brother Ian said he hadn't brought any notes. I have that many notes this morning. I have too many notes, really. I have notes and more notes. Well, anyway, I don't know if we'll use them all, but we'll maybe use some of them. And I want this morning, if I can, to talk about from the fear of the enemy to the fear of God.
Amen.
Now, from the very outset, let me say this. I've always believed that there's two fears. There's a fear that comes from the devil, and that brings torment. It brings anxiety. It'll bring trouble. And you'll never have any joy where you have that fear. You'll have sadness. And there'll be weeping. And then there's the fear of the Lord, which is the complete opposite from the fear of the devil. And it'll bring deliverance. It'll bring freedom. And it'll bring hope. And it'll bring peace. And it'll bring the power of God. And it'll bring the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. So it'll bring a strength. And you know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it'll bring a wisdom. It'll bring something that makes you know what to do when things start to go wrong and whenever trouble comes upon the face of the earth and into the land. Now, I want this morning to look at this situation that these people was in. And you know, they got themselves into a state. The men of Jabesh Gilead got themselves into a state. And let me say this, and maybe I'm saying, you know, my problem is I think sometimes when I try to speak, I get up and I say something at the start, and I should be saying it in the middle or the end, and then I say something at the end that I maybe should have said at the start. But these people got themselves into a state because of fear. It was fear. There was a fear come on them. And how did the fear come on them? They hear the message. They hear the message. And that's what brought the fear on. Now also, how was the fear lifted off them? Or taken off them? By another message.
Amen.
Hallelujah! The message from the Lord will bring deliverance.
Amen.
The message that God sends is a message of deliverance and hope.
Amen.
It's a message of life. It's not a message of death. It's a message of power and deliverance. It's a message of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now listen, the enemy will come, and he'll always come. You'll not have to invite him. He'll come without an invitation. He's a bold boy, and he'll come right to you where you are also, and he will just come with a message. And you know, you see this spirit that was on Nahash? The spirit that was on him is in the world today.
Yes.
And it's operating today.
Yes.
And it's telling you what you can do and what you cannot do.
Yes. Right.
And it wants to take away your freedom, and it wants to take away your liberty.
Yes.
And you know what else? This man came up, and Nahash the Ammonite came up to tell you what you can do.
Yes.
And he wants to tell you what you can't do.
Yes.
Watch this here.
That's an Antichrist sign. That's an Antichrist sign. The inspiration never came from the Holy Ghost for that.
Amen. Right.
Couldn't. Never come from the Holy Ghost. It's the same spirit come up and encamped against
yes.
you by Gilead.
Yes.
And said, we'll make a deal with you. And you see, the children of Israel, Moses told them, and Gideon told them, when you come into the land, you're not to make any deals with the inhabitants of the land, or you're not to make any covenants with them, but you're to utterly destroy their gods. You're utterly to put them down, and you're not to have any company with them or fellowship with them. Take nothing to do with them. You know, you don't start to make a deal with the enemy. You don't give him an inch, for if you give him an inch, he'll take away.
Amen.
Right.
No surrender!
Amen!
These men here was going to surrender without a fight.
Yes.
They were ready to surrender without a fight. They weren't even in the battle. It was all in their mind.
Yes, amen.
They were all listening to what they had been told.
Yes, that's right.
They're all coming under the control of one leader, and that leader comes from the pit of hell.
Yes, that's right.
See, you get bewitched.
Yes.
If you listen to the wrong message, you will get bewitched.
Right.
If you listen to the wrong preaching, it'll bring you into bondage.
Amen.
But if you listen to the preaching that comes from the Holy Ghost,
amen,
it'll set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it'll deliver you. And it'll give you the power of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
See these men. Boy, make a covenant. Do a deal. Do a deal with them. You see, fear struck them. Fear. Now, listen, I'm not working in the hospitals, and I have the greatest respect for nurses and doctors. And I'm not in contact now with the same people, and I can understand some of the people who have to go into them hospitals, and work in them hospitals, it's not easy. But a vaccine doesn't keep you safe. Nor does a mask.
No.
It's God.
Amen.
It's the Lord that
Amen.
Keeps you safe.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Thank
you,
whenever
Lord.
You come out of the womb and you drew your first breath, it wasn't a vaccine that made you draw a breath.
Amen.
It wasn't anything like that
Amen.
Made you become a living soul.
Amen.
God gave you the ability to draw your first breath.
Right.
And you took that first breath and you began to breathe. Hallelujah. And you're alive today. But you see fear, what fear is, you know, and I spoke to the nurse one night, and I don't know her very well, but I knew her off late. She went to school when I went to school, and her brothers went to school with me. And I says to her, are you afraid? She says, I'm afraid. I am really afraid. She says, if you see what I saw, you'd be afraid too. And I said, don't be afraid. She says, I'm afraid. And she was telling the truth. She was afraid. But you see, these people was afraid because of what they saw. They saw an army encamped against
yes.
them. And they heard what was going to happen. And then, you know what else? They wanted to make a deal, to do a deal with the enemy. No, don't do any dealings with them.
Amen.
Hey,
yes.
Amen.
Get your coat.
Amen.
Right.
Get on your walking shoes.
Amen.
Clear.
Yes.
That's the deal you do with them. Well, anyway, you see, we make a deal. You know what Nahash said? The Amorite answered them, verse 2, on this condition will I make a covenant with you that I may thirst out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. He wanted to say, notice then, all the people that didn't get the vaccines all got COVID. Well, I know people got the vaccine, they've got COVID. They've all got, a lot of them got it. Well, you see, He wanted to thirst out the right eyes, and then he wanted to make a reproach in our words. If you don't do what we tell you to do, you'll be in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
In our words, you need to do what we are going to tell you. You need to stick by the rules, because we're making the rules and you have to abide them. And you know what it's about? It's about control over you and power over you.
Yes.
It's about, you know what he done in the house done with these boys? He put them in the lockdown.
Right.
He put them in lockdown. He just, right, I said, you'll not go out, you'll not do anything unless we say you'll do it. And if we don't say you'll do it, you'll not do it. But he wanted to make an example of them. He says, I'm going to thirst out all your right eyes. You see, that speaks to me of vision.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yes. Wants to half your vision.
Yes.
Right. Doesn't want you to have any vision for the lost or a revival or anything like
right.
that. Doesn't want you to have any vision for the power of God or a mighty move of God coming over the land. He wants to half your vision. He wants to leave you that if you do go into the battle, you'll not see clearly.
Yes.
You're missing half the stuff that's going past you, maybe. He wants to blank out you. Doesn't want you to see it all. He doesn't want you never to know what he's trying to do.
That's right. Amen. It is.
See, the government doesn't tell us everything.
No.
And it's true, people say that some of the American government paid the Chinese to invent COVID. And, you know, you see these men in power. You know, these men, they're bewitched, a lot of them.
That's right.
They need deliverance. They need prayed for.
Amen.
It. And they're standing up and they're making statements, get the vaccine. Now, if you don't get the vaccine, there's no job for you, man. You know, whenever I first heard about the COVID, and I don't know for why, but the first thing that came to me was that in the last days, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's coming to it. If you want to be a Christian to take your stand,
yes.
They'll persecute you. And you know, people are saying even, look at the way it is now with travel. They want to put you in quarantine. Treat you like an animal.
Yes.
You're like an animal. They're testing you to see if you have TB next. And do you see the COVID test? It's not accurate. You know, I don't want to sound boastful or anything, and I don't listen. I'm not here to tempt the Lord. I don't want you to tempt him. But I went down to the hospital. I wasn't feeling well. And they'd done a test on me. And the man came out and he says to me, you've got COVID. And you know what? I was in one waiting room. And he says, go into that room there. That's everybody with COVID. And he didn't tell me that. But that's where they put me. Put me in the pen with the COVID.
Yes.
And then I come out again. They went and you have to go see another doctor. They went and see another doctor. He says to me, you've got COVID. I says, I haven't got COVID. Don't have it. He says, hey, you taste? I says, yes, I have. Hey, you smell? I have. Can you breathe? Yes, I can. I've no problems. Don't have COVID. And then the nurse, he says, I'm sending you down. The nurse is going to take your blood. I went down to the nurse, and the nurse was taking my blood. And another nurse came in, and the nurse said to the nurse who was taking my blood, this man had a new track and trace. And the nurse who was taking my blood said, no, he will not, because he says he hasn't got COVID. And not only that, the test that we do is not accurate.
Yes.
So in other words, he was telling me the test was false.
Yes.
I says, I know it's not accurate. And then they said, you'll have to wait. So I sat in the hospital for 5 hours or 5.5 hours to get an x-ray. And I says to Carl, I says, I'm going home. I'm not sitting here any longer, I've slept long enough. And the sign up saying 10-hour waiting list. 10 hours to see a doctor or get
yes.
it. 10 hours.
Yes.
You know, they put me in among all them boys and all spluttering. They were coughing and barking. And I wasn't allowed to go back to the seat where they didn't have COVID, as it was so called. But that's beside the point. Thank the Lord I came home. And Tommy prayed for me. And the church prayed for me. God delivered me, hallelujah, and set me free. I'd have pain in my side, I could hardly move. And then I'm all right now, hallelujah, thank the
Amen.
Lord. You know, my wife says to me, you've got COVID, but I'm sleeping in the other room. I says, sleep wherever you want, but I don't have COVID. Praise the Lord. He the elders, these men was going to surrender. And they said, if there be no man, if there be no man, then we'll come out to you. But said, give us 7 days respite. Now we know about the number 7. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We know that there were 7 church ages.
Amen.
Seven church ages with 7 messengers, a messenger to every age, and a messenger that had, thus saith the Lord, a messenger that was sent from God to turn the people back from the wrong way to the right way. We know that God allowed us 7 church ages, and we've had the spirit of Elijah, hallelujah, and we've heard a message. Now listen, this should come at the end of this, but the message that we heard, it carried a sign, and it carried a warning, and it also carried an invitation, hallelujah. And the sign, we saw the sign of a prophet, hallelujah, and we heard. And today we have a message. Glory to God. We have a message that sets the captive free. Now listen, that was meant to come towards the end, but listen to what happened here. These men said, give us 7 days respite, and we'll go through the land. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him that was in the house, give us 7 days respite, and we will send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to you. We'll come out with the white flag. Now listen, these are the people that asked for a king. These are the people that had a prophet with them. A word prophet that had open vision. A man that has open vision sees a picture.
That's right.
And he can see you. And he can see you in the future. And he can see you what has come or went before. He can see you in your youth if you're old.
Amen.
He can see you. God can show him.
That's right, yes.
God knows all about us. God knows all
Amen.
About everything. God's in control.
Right.
God allowed this evil spirit to come on the Ammonite so that they'd come up and camp against Israel so that God's word could be performed, and also so that they could get what they wanted. Listen to that. So that they could get what they wanted.
Yes, amen.
They wanted a king. And God gave them a king. And you know what? The devil always worked this way. He always wanted to pretend that there wasn't anybody, or that there was no man that was anointed, or had a call of God on his life. He wanted. See, if you entertain these devils, they'll flock to you.
Yes, that's right.
They'll come to you. Yeah. But if you stand against them, they'll leave.
Amen.
They'll leave.
Amen. Yes.
When Jesus came into the temple, the Bible says there's a man there with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, and he said, Jesus, thou Holy One of God, we know you who you are.
Amen.
Art thou come to torment us before the time?
Boy,
he was tormented at the presence of God.
Yes.
The devil's always tormented at the presence of God. He's always tormented by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He cannot stand it.
That's right.
And so much that he has to leave. The door is open for him. He can go. I don't want to hold them back. So, you see these men here, that old evil spirit was coming. And you know what you'll read? I haven't really read this much. Can you bring that up again, bro? Maybe I've knocked it off. Well, you'll read that all the people All the people went and they said, we'll make a deal, we'll make a covenant. All the people. Now I'm going on because time's moving here. You read also then it says that when the people where Saul lived, you see what happens. These boys bring a message. Now they're sent. There's a message coming out, and it's the message of fear. And all the people's affected. Many people's affected in the world today with this message of fear. So the whole world's affected. So everybody's affected. All the people. And these messengers come forth. Now, they're not from God. God hasn't sent them. They don't get their inspiration from God. So you see then, these messengers, written it down here. These messengers have been listening to the wrong source. Now, a messenger, I was talking about Samuel having open vision. You see, a prophet of God that has open vision, there's no doubt there. When a man or a woman has the spirit of prophecy come on them, they'll prophesy and they'll should speak truth and should speak something that's inspired by God. But the Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. But a word prophet has open vision and he sees clearly.
Yes.
Now I can prophesy to you today and it'll only be in part. And whenever you hear, if I was to prophesy over you today, what you have to do is, you have to take it back to the Word of God, and you have to judge it with this Word, and see if it's right or see if it's wrong. Now, do you know what's wrong today? And I say this in Pentecostal circles, what is wrong today? You get a lot of people, and they're making a prophecy, and God never inspired it. They prophesy from their own heart.
Yes.
And they say, "The Lord, thus saith the Lord," and they say, "The Lord has said." The Lord never said. It was them, their own selves, that said.
Yes.
Or else somebody else told them something about you, and then they came and told you.
Yes.
And they only told you what Job loves, or somebody else told them. And if they hadn't have told them, they wouldn't have known.
Right.
And you see that sort of prophecy? No, that'll do. That'll bring an Antichrist spirit into the meeting. And do you know what happens then? You need a spirit of discernment to discern if that's from God or if it's not from God. But if it's from God, it'll bring liberty and it'll bring freedom and it'll bring peace and it'll bring deliverance and it'll bring the power of God and it'll bring the joy of the Lord into your heart.
Amen.
But if it's from the other side, it'll bring evil and darkness and confusion and fear and backbiting and fighting. That's what it'll bring. Don't ever try to give a prophecy onto your own bat. Make sure the Lord's with you. Make sure you've heard from God. Don't paddle the bike. Because that's whenever you start to do bout on a limb. Never paddle that bike. Now listen, I need to move on. I'm starting to bore you to death. You see, bad news travels fast. That's an old statement, and it's a true one, but just let me go to the scriptures here. You see, it says here that they were saying, if there be no man to save us. Now, I was saying that these men of Jabesh Gilead and all Israel had asked for a king, and they had a word prophet, and they were asking for a king, and Samuel went to the Lord and he said, they have rejected me as a prophet. And the Lord said, no, they didn't reject you. They rejected me, which was God. God said they rejected him. Now, if the Lord speaks to a man and he has a prophecy, he has a word from God, and you reject that word, you're not rejecting the man.
Yeah.
You're rejecting God. You're rejecting what God said. You're rejecting
right.
The Lord. And now, today, you see, we have a message that needs to be listened to.
Amen.
And it needs to be abided by, if possible. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? God didn't send a message for nothing. He didn't just say, I'm sitting up here and I'm twiddling my thumbs, I've nothing to do. Maybe he should send a message. No, he knew the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He knew there was going to be seven church ages. He knew there was going to be 7 days respect. And then he's talking about Ammon. Now let me say this about Ammon. God has Ammon. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
God has Ammon that can save the world. His name is Jesus. God has Ammon that's coming back again. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
God has Ammon that's going to come to this earth and live on it and dwell on it and set up his kingdom on it. His name is Jesus. God has a man. Let me say it also. God never left himself, and you know this, without a witness. God always had a witness. Now, I'm moving on. Listen. The Bible tells us these men was going to surrender without a fight. The men of Jabesh was going to surrender without a fight. They weren't. It was all in their head. You know, I'm dropping this in. Way back months ago, there was a program on the TV, and they interviewed one of the Amish people. Now, I know the Amish people that did take the COVID, a lot of them took the COVID. But they interviewed this man months and months ago, and they says to him, hey, any problem with COVID? And he said, what's COVID? He said, what's COVID? They said, do you not know it's COVID? He says, it's very dangerous. If you take it, you're going to die. You're going to die. And the man says, never heard about it. He says, what do you mean you never heard about it? Do you not? He says, no, I never watched the television. Or I never listened to news. He said, never heard television. He said, never had any bother with it. You see, where most of the trouble's coming from. What's broadcast?
Yes.
What's been put out?
Amen.
And you see, it's a message of fear. It's a message of fear. You know, I was going into a shop and there's a woman coming out and a man in the door. Fionn grew a pair of horns. Whenever she saw me, she was frightened. Don't meet me. You know, people say, don't meet me on the stairs. It's bad luck. Don't walk under that ladder.
Right.
Don't you walk under that ladder. I'll put you on a tip. Get yourself a rabbit's foot and carry it with you. You know what a man said? I heard about that one time. You know what the other man said? He said, did it do the rabbit any good? Did it help the rabbit? Get yourself a rabbit's foot. All them things come from the devil.
Right.
Don't go out on Halloween night. Now, it's wonderful the way the witches were promoted at Halloween and all the devil's instruments was promoted. You see, how did they do it? By the media.
Yes. Right.
And the wee children sitting in school have to make an ugly face.
Right.
Draw a picture of a horror movie face. Make a face that's going to frighten somebody. See all this nonsense. It's all from the same spirit that was there in the house in Ammonites. It's all the same spirit come up and camped against Israel and said, we're not going to make a deal with you unless we make an example of you. We want to let other people see what we are going to do to you. Well, anyway, I'm moving on here. Listen, I'm taking a lot of your time. The Bible says in verse 4, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. See this message? This is a message from hell. This was from all the people lifted up their voices and wept. All these people is at their wit's end. They're at their wit's end because of what they've heard. There hasn't been any battle yet. The battle's in their mind. And this message that comes complete with fear You know, Paul wrote to one of the epistles, you know what he wrote? He wrote, greet one another with a holy kiss.
Amen.
That's what he wrote.
Yes, that's right.
I wonder if he came in here this morning, what he would do. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, you see the way that COVID, I know COVID's real. I know them things is real. I know people has had it, and I know people was very ill, and it was only the grace of God that they didn't die. But also, it is the grace of God. It's God. Our trust ought to be in God, and ought not to be in anything else, only the Lord. And so, we see these men coming down, and these messengers go out through the whole coast. They go everywhere. There's nowhere where they haven't been sent. And they come down and they come to the town where Saul lives. They come right down. And in verse 4 of the chapter, it says, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. See the state they're in. And you know, what is really, this is the end of freedom for them. This is the end of liberty for them. This is the beginning of slavery. This is the beginning of being, what would you say, a slave or a servant. This is the beginning of not being able to do anything unless you're told what you can do or what you can't do. Now listen, I want you to notice something here because it's very important. And verse 5 says, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field and said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. Now, Saul heard the same message that they heard. But what happened? What was different? Let me say this. The message, the Antichrist message that Saul heard had no ability to bring fear into his heart of any description of the enemy. When he heard that message, when Saul heard that message had no ability whatsoever to have an effect on him by fear. So that he was going to surrender, or so that he was going to bow down, or so that he was going to have to go into a corner and hide. No, the Bible tells me in verse 6 says, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Let me say this, I never want you to have anger, or I never want you to lose control because of temper, but if you're going to have anger, I'm going to have lose control because of the devil, I say, go ahead. If you're going to do it because of the enemy and because of the devil, I say, go ahead and do it. And I believe that the Lord disclosed his anger,
yes,
through his servant Saul.
Yes, amen.
Because why would God be angry? God would be angry because the people of Israel asked God for to give them a king. And they went through a messenger. They went through a prophet that had an open vision. And they said, give us a king. We want to be like the other nations. Well, that was their first downfall.
Yes, amen.
Never want to be like the world.
Amen.
Don't want to be like the other nations. God wants you to be different. The people of God are peculiar people. They're called out people. This whole world can never hold me. You see, and then you see that something happened to Saul. Now, I didn't take the time to read it, but if you go back to chapter 10 and verse 9, you'll see where Saul was running after a bunch of donkeys, and he lands down to the prophet Samuel, and he talks with Samuel, and before he leaves Samuel gives him the word of the Lord. Now, this was not a make-believe, or this was not a guesswork. This was the say of the Lord. This was the real thing. What does Samuel tell him? Samuel says, your father, the donkeys has found that you have lost, and your father has left the concern of the donkeys, and he's concerned for you. He doesn't know where you are, where you have got to, and he wants you home. But before you go home, stand still a moment, and I will speak to you the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give you a word from heaven. I'll give you a word that will change your life. And he told him what would take place that day. You know, Saul hadn't long to wait when he heard a word from God, when he heard a word from the prophet. They said, it'll happen today. And the Bible says in chapter 10 and verse 9, and it came to pass when he turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah! God gave him another heart, and all them signs came to pass that day. Hallelujah! And he came down and he met the man and he got the loaves that he was told about. And I'm only telling you it in my own words, but you can go back and read it. But he got the loaves of bread and he met the men coming down from the school of prophecy, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he began to prophesy, insomuch that they said, is Saul also among the prophets? Who is his father? Now you see what Samuel said happened that same day, but I want you to notice this part. The Bible says when he turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. He got faith in his heart that day. He got saved that day. And he didn't only get saved, he got the Holy Ghost.
Yes, all right.
Never let anybody tell you that Saul was lost. When I got to heaven, I'm going to have a crack with him. And if we're as sure as being in heaven as he's there, you'd have nothing to worry about. I've heard some people talking nonsense about Saul. He didn't have this, he didn't have that. He had the Holy Ghost. And he was anointed King of Israel.
Right.
And he knew the truth. But you see, the Bible says also in chapter 10 and verse 28, that Samuel tells the people the manner of the kingdom, and then he sends everybody home. He sends them home. And the Bible says that Saul went home also to his own house. And what happened? They went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. These are the men I believe that he used to bring the message. The message of hope, the message of deliverance. I believe these are the same men. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on. The Spirit of the Lord came on Saul. You see, when he heard the false doctrine, listen to that. When he heard the false doctrine, something inside his heart said, that can't be right. I can't accept that.
Amen.
And I will not accept it. I'll stay with what I know to be the truth. You know what happens? It says he took a yoke of oxen and he hewed them in pieces. Verse 7, and he sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying. Now here's the sign. And here's the warning. And here's the invitation. You know, when God sent a message in the 20th century, he sent it with a sign. And he sent it with a warning. And he sent it with an invitation. That wasn't the first time God done that. God done it here in the book of Samuel.
Yes.
Brother Graham said God always works in a pattern.
Yes.
If you've done it one way one time, you do it the same way the next time. And you see, what was the sign? The sign was the yoke of oxen hewed in pieces. That was the sign.
Yes.
It startled them. And what was it? Wake up!
Yes.
Wake up, call! Jesus, the boy said, if we have none, if we have no man. Oh, there's nobody here. Well, you may go away. There's nobody here to pray the prayer of faith. You needn't come here and speak with tongues. There's nobody here that can interpret. You needn't come here to hear from heaven. There's nobody here that has a word of prophecy. There's nobody here that has a gift of discernment. Don't bring an evil spirit here. There's nobody here that can cast it out. You know, we ought to be praying for the gifts.
Yes.
We ought to say, Lord, I'm available. Give me the gifts. Lord, I want that power. I want that authority. I want to be a vessel that you can use. Put your hand on to bring deliverance. That's what we ought to say. You see that sort of talk, then if there be no man, the devil thrives on that. He thrives on that sort of talk. If there be nobody to deliver us, after asking for a man.
Yes.
Ask for a man, then say if there be no man. And then you see there was a man brought out and he was anointed.
Yes.
Nobody wanted him. The sons of Belial, the serpent seed said, how can he deliver you? How will this man deliver you?
Right.
How will he do it? What has he got? But you see, he had something in his heart. God gave him another heart. honey, you have one very important ingredient. You had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You had the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of notes wrote down here. If I had a lot of stuff wrote down here, listen, I think that's important what I said. You come with a sign, you come with a warning, and you come with an invitation. But listen, there's someone else here, and I am going to say it, and I don't want anybody to be offended by it, and especially the pastor. I don't want, Tommy, don't you be offended what I'm going to say, but listen, it's a great thing that you do an outreach on the internet. It's great. But Saul wasn't really that type of a man. Why was he not? Well, I don't believe he wanted to assist an army that's unseen. You know, an army that's not seen is not an army. Did you know that? Now, in the natural, listen, in the natural, an army that is not seen, men on the ground, is not an army. So be a church. A church that is not seen is not a church. Now, you're excused if you live in another country. You're excused if you live at the other side of the world. You can't be here. You're excused if you're old, an old man, and on the pension, or an old woman, and you don't like driving in the dark, or you don't like driving in the winter, and you're excused. But listen, if you're young and have all your faculties, you ought to be here. Now listen what I'm going to say here this morning, and this is sharp, but don't take offense. Saul, I've written it down here if I can find it, but Saul was not going to assist or accommodate or preach to an unseen army or a church. A church that is not seen is not a church. Why did I say that? No attendance. No attendance, no participation. Am I saying that right? No participation. You can't sit at home and add to the worship here. You can't be at home and add to the worship. You can't be at home and contribute to the worship. You can't be at home and add to what is going on here. You can't do it. You're absent. And Saul didn't want absentees. Saul could have said, right, I'm going to send out and I'm going to ask who wants to join with me. Yes. He didn't do that. He sent a message. Yes. He sent a message. What was the message? The message was, you know, to get rid of. The message was to come out. The message was that there's a great deliverance to be obtained. Now, I've written down some things here, and they might be rough, they might be sharp, but listen. I said, you see this unseen army and this unseen church, do you want me to tell you something about them? Well, I'm going to tell you, whether you want me to tell you or not. They never have to leave the armchair. Is that right or is that wrong? They never have to leave the armchair. They never have to leave the comfort of a warm home. They never have to go out in the cold, dark, or wet nights, or the frost, or the snow. Why, sure, there's a good fire on at home, and we can turn the television down a wee way, and then we can turn it up again when the meeting's over. And then what else? They're never confronted with a basket for an offering. The basket never goes past them. It doesn't reach the home. And know what else? They never had to give any tithes. Aren't you Christians? You know, Saul had no time for that. Now, I'm not saying stop talking on the internet and stop putting it out, because I know there's some great work being done and there's thousands being reached that never would come to church. But listen, people need to start coming through that door. Why? Because the Lord's coming back. And you know, it's good what Tommy's doing, and I appreciate what he's doing, and he's doing the best he can. And listen, but I think, Tommy, you need to turn the screw on them. What a man turned the screw. Give him a warning. Saul turned the screw.
Yes.
Why did he cut the yoke of oxen in pieces? You see, whenever the men by seeing that, they were threatened. I tell you something, they awakened up. They awakened up and they come out. You know, it's good, you can listen in the meeting, you can listen in and you can pray for the meeting, you can listen in and you can pray that God will bless it, and God's word will not return unto him void. Never. But people ought to be at church. And you see, this message that went out through the land recently is keeping people out of church. It's an excuse. It's an excuse so that you don't come to church. Social distance rules apply. You haven't room. You must stay away. But the Bible says, you know, there was more to it than meets the eye. Now listen, whenever the Spirit of the Lord, I have a lot of stuff here, too much stuff. I'm gonna skip them because, as usual, I'm using up a lot of your time. And I appreciate your time and I appreciate the way you're listening. Listen, the message come from Saul was a message of deliverance. It was a message that changed the whole thing, but God was behind it. And what I'm going to say is, whenever Saul took that yoke of oxen and he hewed them in pieces, it was an act of faith. It was an act of faith. Why was it an act of faith? Well, like, you would say to me, John, how is that going to change anything? Well, it did. It did. It changed the whole situation. It changed the whole thing because God was in it. Now, there's something that I want to say to you today, and don't worry, I'm going to soon come to an end here. There's no sustainability of freedom without faith. That's a true statement. Listen to that again. There is no sustainability of freedom without faith. Whenever Saul went down to see Samuel and he departed from Samuel, he got faith in his heart. He got the love of God in his heart. He got the Holy Ghost. He got a change. He was a changed man. The Bible, Samuel said to him, it had come to pass when these things come on you, do as occasion would serve you, for God was with you. So he got a faith in his heart. He had faith in his heart. And he had love in his heart for the things of God and for the true message, or a messenger that spoke to him, thus saith the Lord. And he had got that faith in his heart. And when he heard the other message, he said, no, I'm not having nothing to do with this. This is not for me. I have a word. I have heard a word. And I've got faith. Now, it's important that you have faith, because faith will bring you deliverance and faith will sustain the freedom that you have. Whereas, if you don't have faith, you can be brought into bondage. Now, I want to move on here. You see, thank the Lord. I've written down, thank the Lord for the message that came through Saul. This message was to get a people ready. It was to get a people ready. Many people tonight or today is ready. Ready, you say, ready what for? Ready to come out. And ready to go on a catching up.
Amen.
Ready for when the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Many people has the fear of the Lord on them. And you know, we read here that the fear of the Lord in chapter 11 and verse 7, and the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. You see, when they came out with one consent, hadn't they asked them twice? Hadn't they asked them again? Or they hadn't to go and have a meeting? They didn't have any meetings about this. They said, we're coming out, we need to come out. And they came out with, the Bible says they came out with one consent. And Saul's messengers brought the message and they said, look, if you don't follow Saul and Samuel, this is what's going to happen to you. There's a consequence for not heeding this message. But if you heed this message, there's going to be a victory. And you know, the Bible says here, you know, and the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And you know, whenever the fear of the Lord comes on you, it takes the fear of the devil off you. It takes the fear of the enemy off you. No, this fear from the enemy was over. It was over right then, right there and then, it was over. And you know, I'm not going to go on, but listen, I've written it down here. Whenever anyone has the Holy Ghost, the devil never wants it to broadcast. The devil doesn't want anybody to know. You see, if you're preaching the truth of what happened in the 20th century, if you're preaching that God sent a messenger, if you're preaching that there's a sign, that we have seen a sign, and if you're also preaching a warning, and if you're also preaching a message to get a people ready, the devil doesn't want anybody to know about that. He wants to keep that quiet. He wants to make it appear, well, that never happened. And that's the same spirit that was here. They said, then if there be no man, but God had a man, and God has men. You know, Saul sent these men, but these men had the message that Saul had. They had the same gospel. Whenever the disciples went out, what gospel had they? They had the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hadn't the gospel of anybody else.
Right.
They had a gospel of Jesus Christ. And we heard about Philip the other day, or the other night, and Philip went down to Samaria, and the Bible says he preached unto them Christ. And the Bible says the people give heed to the things that Philip said, because they saw the miracles. And unclean spirits come out of many, crying with loud voices. And the Bible says, and there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. And then whenever they heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when he was come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I'm coming to the close here, but I've written down here, the devil doesn't want anybody to know about Pentecost. He doesn't want anybody to know about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want anybody to know that if ever the Holy Ghost comes on you, he wants to make it appear that, oh, it never happened. He was trying to do this with Saul, you know. And he was trying to do it with Samuel. He was trying to make it appear, Samuel, you wasted your time anointing that man. But God never wastes his time. And I say this, God never anoints a man for no reason. Now the Lord can anoint you, and the Lord can come on you, and you will have to resist to stop a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of the living God. You will have to resist. And you know, that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that the Spirit of God comes on you, and you're sitting in your chair, or you're sitting in your home, and you can say, there's that same Spirit again.
Amen.
You can sit in the meeting and maybe put your hand out and try to catch God. Did you ever do that? Try to catch Him. You can't catch a hold of the Spirit. He's a Spirit. He can go through the wall, and He can go through your hand. You can't catch Him with both your hands, but He can come on you, He can fall on you, and He can deliver you, and He can set you free. Hallelujah. And you can say, there's that same Spirit of the Lord coming again. I know Him in His presence. Hallelujah. But you see, there was a purpose. There was a purpose whenever Saul got angry. Because he got angry by the Spirit of the Lord, there was a purpose. And the purpose was that he took a yoke of oxen and he hewed them in pieces and he sent them by messengers throughout all the coast. And he had a sign and he had a warning and had an invitation. But God's Spirit was moving. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the people come out with one consent. You know, I'm not going to take the time to read the rest of the chapter, but there's only 15 verses, and for time's sake, no, I'm not going to read that. But listen, what happened? The next day, or when they counted the people, there was 330,000 men. There was 300,000 of the children of Israel, and there was 30,000 of the men of Judah. 330,000 men who was afraid of the enemy, who was no longer afraid of the enemy, who had the fear of God on them, and they come out with one consent, and they come out. Who did they come out after? They come out after a king that was anointed. They come out after a prophet that had open vision, and they were standing and they were ready to go. And let me say this, I've written it down here. As soon as the fear of the Lord fell on the people, the battle was over. As soon as the fear of the Lord fell on the people, the battle was as good as won. The battle was over. And you know what had happened? It made the message that come from the house, it made it void. You know what happened? You see, when they come down and put the card in, and they wanted to get the message up on the laptop, and they put in the card, and they punched in the house's message, the Ammonite message, they punched that in, you know what come up? Declined. Declined. Have you ever seen that one? I have seen it a time or two. Declined. Nothing there. Void. Hallelujah! The devil's plans. The devil was only a tool in the hand of God.
Amen.
Didn't work. See, what happened then? Well, the Bible says that Saul divided the men into three companies. And they come into the host of the Midian or the Ammonites in the morning watch. Boy, I love that. The morning watch before the day had broken. Right. You know, it says in my margin, I don't know how true it is, but it says in the margin, the morning watch is from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. If you want to do something for God, get out of bed. If you want to do something for God, make an early start.
Amen.
If you want to do something for God, don't wait till you have grey hairs. Don't wait till you're lifting the pension. Do it in the morning watch. Do it when you're a young fella. If you want to sit now, you can. I'm not saying you can't serve Him when you get older. Yes, you can. But listen, give your best days. Give your best time to the Lord. It says they come in the morning watch, and Saul divided the men into three companies, and they smote the host of the Ammonites. So that there wasn't two of them left together. But before that too, they sent a message to the men of Jabesh, tomorrow by the time the sun be hot, you shall have help. And the Bible says that they were glad.
Yes.
They were glad. And then, you know what happens? Well, the Lord wrought a great victory that day in the land of Israel, and all their enemies is dispersed. So that there's not two of them left together. There's no call to social distance then. There wasn't two of them left. They're out of the land, you see. They were destroyed. It's gone. And the Bible says that the men rose up then and said, who was the men? Who's these men that said, shall this man reign over us? Bring them that we'll put them to death. And what did Saul say? He said, there'll be nobody put to death today. For this day the Lord has wrought salvation in Israel. And it was the Lord that wrought the salvation that day. It was the Lord that brought salvation in Israel. Then Samuel and all the people went to Gilgal and renewed the kingdom. And the Bible says that Saul and all the men, they wept. No, it said they rejoiced greatly. That was God's deliverance. Praise the Lord. I have to come to a stop. I'm sorry, you have listened really well, and I appreciate your time and appreciate the way you've listened. You know, before I come down, you know them songs we were singing, and Gary was singing at the start, the great songs. And I could have sat there and just listened to them, you know. It was really ministering to me and telling us the truth. And you know, if you sing truth, you'll have truth. If you sing the power of God, you'll have the power of God. If you sing and worship the Lord, you'll bring the presence of the Lord into the room, and God will bless you. I just want to pray a simple prayer. Now, I said earlier that there's no sustainability of freedom without faith. You have faith this morning. Now, I know you have faith, but I want you to put your faith into action. And I don't care what you're asking the Lord for today. Have faith and ask God and leave it with Him.
and see what God will do. Let's come and bow our heads now, and I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and then the pastor's going to come, or Gary's going to come, and we're going to sing praise the Lord. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and Lord, maybe said a lot of things this morning, Lord, and maybe didn't say enough, but Lord, you just come and confirm your word, Lord, that you want your people to have. And may all fears from the enemy leave your people, Lord. And Lord, I know the devil can't abide your presence. I know he hates the power, your power, and he hates the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you'll brood over your people and minister to them your grace. And just like, Lord, you ministered salvation to them men that day. And Lord, there might have been those among them who had no faith or no interest in you, but Lord, there was a group of people whose hearts you had touched. And Lord, you as it were wrought revival that day. You done something, Lord, when you done something, you undone what the enemy was trying to do, and you set the captives free. Lord, we thank you today. We can never emphasize it enough, but we thank you today that we have a message of hope, and we have a message of deliverance. We have a message. We have a man who is a savior. We have a man who is saying, make yourself ready and be ready to come out. And Lord, I thank you. There's a coming out. And Lord, I thank you. There's a catching away. I thank you, Lord. There's a Holy Ghost baptism. And I ask for your people, Lord, that we'll have these signs among us. And Lord, that we'll have the truth always. And we'll only have your fear on us, Lord, no other fears. Lord, I break all the fear of the enemy over your people now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray it'll go from them never to return in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you'll rot again among us, delivering the captives and setting us free in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, bless your people. And Lord, not none be offended by anything that was said, whether it's said wrong or said right. Lord Jesus, let your love cover everything.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one.
Praise the Papa. So maybe next week we'll have a communion, because it's Remembered Sunday. And I'm going to preach about that poppy and about the blood. God bless you.
Yeah, I'm going to keep you, but just ask me, they can't sing that before we've been singing on Wednesday night. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. It's as quick as you walk upon it. And the Lord bless you as you go, and we'll see you this evening. Lord bless you.